Welcome, and thank you for joining the National Multiple Sclerosis Society's MS Learn Online Internet Program. I'm Rick Turner, your host and medical correspondent. Symptoms of MS are unpredictable and vary from person to person and from time to time in the same person. Some symptoms will come and go over the course of the disease. Others may be more lasting. Today's webcast is the third of a four-part series focusing on the management of four common MS symptoms. This webcast will concentrate on vision and MS. We're very pleased to have as our guest for the series Dr. Nancy Holland. Dr. Holland is Vice President of Clinical Programs for the National Multiple Sclerosis Society, headquartered in New York City. Once again, welcome to MS Learn Online, Dr. Holland.
Well, thank you very much, Rick.
For many, vision problems are really the first symptoms people with MS will recognize. Tell us what types of issues people with MS may experience with their vision.
Certainly. First of all, I want to say that visual problems are among the most commonly encountered symptoms in MS. About 80% of people will experience visual disturbance at some time during the disease course. The most common, by far, symptom is optic neuritis, or inflammation of the optic nerve, which is the nerve behind the eye itself. Okay, this comes on with generally a sudden onset over several hours or several days with progressive worsening of vision. There's usually blurred vision, decreased visual acuity. Now, the visual acuity is when the doctor or nurse has you look at the Snellen eye chart and cover one eye. That's the one we all hope to have 20/20 on, but certainly with optic neuritis, there'll be a very clear worsening of visual acuity. Also, there can be some diminished peripheral vision, and this is when you're looking straight ahead, it's the area of vision that's to the right, the left, or up or down. Mm-hmm. There can also be some black spots called scotoma, and there sometimes is an area in the central vision where there's damage, and so the person sees everything around kind of this hole, this black spot. And pain in the eye may or may not be present. Some people do have it, and others don't. And just for a few statistics, about half of people with relapsing, remitting MS have optic neuritis as their first symptom.
Wow.
Okay, and about half of people who have a single episode of optic neuritis, now that means a single episode of anything in MS, can't be diagnosed as MS. And so this is called a clinically isolated syndrome. But if that person having optic neuritis also has three or more lesions on an MRI scan, the likelihood is that he or she will go on to definite MS within 5 years. Hmm. So that the optic neuritis is really an important event in MS. And optic neuritis clears up very nicely. There's sometimes decreased color vision, which is the ability to distinguish subtle differences in color. There can be impaired pupillary response. This is when bright light shines and the pupil doesn't shrink down the way it's supposed to. And this is, people notice this at night when they're driving. They feel that they're blinded by the oncoming headlights. But it's really managed very nicely by glasses with polarized lenses. Sometimes people have what's considered a silent episode of optic neuritis, or the symptoms are so fleeting or so minor that the event goes unnoticed. And in order to establish the diagnosis of MS, I mentioned there needs to be damage in more than one area of the central nervous system. And so if the first symptom of the MS is not optic neuritis, there's a test called a visual evoked potential that will identify whether the person has in fact ever had anything going on with that optic nerve. Even though there's no symptoms, the amount of time it takes for the signal to be passed from the eye to the back of the brain is delayed. So this is a non-invasive test, and it sometimes can help the physician establish the diagnosis of MS. There's another problem that's fairly common in MS, and that's nystagmus. And this is a rapid, repetitive, lateral, to and fro movement of the eyes. I'm trying to show you, but you obviously can't see me. But it means that the eye is going back and forth rapidly from right to left. And sometimes there's another movement called oscillopsia, which is a rotating or circular eye movement.
Now, you mentioned that optic neuritis tends to respond pretty well to treatment and it will bounce back, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Is the remission rate in general good for people who are experiencing vision problems?
Actually, optic neuritis, if there is a good first symptom, it carries a good prognosis. It's considered a sensory symptom, and people with sensory symptoms in general have a better prognosis. So yes, that someone who starts out with optic neuritis early on in the disease or as the first symptom, that's a plus so far as the future.
Mm-hmm. Now, a couple of questions about vision problems. Are there treatments, effective treatments, specifically for vision problems? And a follow-up question, I addressed this earlier in our discussion about pain in MS. Is there any documentation that the disease-modifying agents have made a helpful difference for this specific symptom?
The standard treatment for optic neuritis primarily is high-dose steroids, generally intravenous methylprednisolone. And optic neuritis responds very well to this. There was a large study done a number of years back of oral versus intravenous steroids because
yes.
The tradition prior to that was for oral steroids to be used. But this large study showed that there was a significant benefit of the high-dose IV steroids rather than the oral. And so that's why that's now pretty much the standard of care.
Mm-hmm.
However, optic neuritis doesn't always need to be treated. If the symptoms are mild or if the episode is already clearing at the time the neurologist is seen, the decision may be not to treat at all because the steroids aren't believed to have long-term benefit that we know of. And so they're really used to speed the recovery and to reduce symptoms during the recovery, and if that's not a problem, then the decision may be not to treat at all.
Right.
The nystagmus responds really less well to treatment. It sometimes will clear on its own, but it does not respond to steroids the way the optic neuritis does. So far as the disease modifying therapies, they really haven't been studied in symptom management, but they are not believed to have any impact on existing symptoms. Their intent is to hopefully slow the disease course down, limit or prevent some of the symptoms that go along with MS.
Now, all of us, as we age especially, sort of lose some of our visual acuity. So this question, I guess, could apply to any symptom we discuss, but is it recommended to go see a neurologist whenever you experience a vision problem, and how do you know it's connected to your MS?
The best thing to do is to discuss it with your neurologist even before a visit, or discuss it with the MS nurse. Because if it's just decreased visual acuity, then the ophthalmologist might be preferable. But if there are any other symptoms going on, blurred vision, field cuts, anything at all, then the neurologist is the one to see.
Right. Now, how long does it take to know that vision loss is, in fact, permanent, and what can be done if someone does experience permanent vision loss?
In general, neurological damage is considered permanent after 2 years. It's not believed that you'll get recovery after that time. Fortunately, visual problems, although the optic neuritis and nystagmus, these problems certainly can be annoying and interfere with function. People with MS rarely become legally blind or have really long-term serious visual problems. But if this should occur, the individual should call the society for a referral to a low vision center. There are these centers all over the country, and they're really very, very effective in helping people compensate for visual loss.
Dr. Holland, anything else you wanted to add about vision loss in MS, something we haven't touched on?
I don't think so.
Great. Well, once again, I want to thank you, Dr. Holland, for your time. We'll have one more opportunity to come together when we discuss sexual dysfunction. I look forward to speaking with you then. Thanks again.
Oh, thank you. My pleasure.
The National MS Society is proud to be a source of information for you about multiple sclerosis. Our comments are based on professional advice, published experience, and expert opinion, but do not represent individual therapeutic recommendation or prescription. For specific information and advice, consult a qualified physician. If you have a question that was not addressed, please email us at mslearnonline@nmss.org. If you'd like more information on multiple sclerosis, click on the resources link on your screen or call the chapter nearest you for an answer to your question. You can reach your chapter by calling 1-800-FIGHT-MS. That's 1-800-344-4867. You may also want to check the National MS Society's website, where you'll find more information about today's topic and a menu of other webcasts available to participate in. Funding for this program was provided as an unrestricted educational grant from these National MS Society chapters. For the National MS Society, I'm Rick Turner, wishing you health and happiness.